With me. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for gathering us together in your name. Thank you for this place and for the privilege of being here. And Lord, we acknowledge it is a privilege. There are so many around this world who cannot say the same thing, but who must hide in order to gather in fellowship and worship you. But Jesus, you have given us this great treasure of freedom in this country. And I ask that you grant us grace and wisdom and strength to use all that you have given us for your glory. And anything that stands between us and you, though we may have the freedom to enjoy it, grant us the strength and the faith and the trust to yield it to you. Jesus, I yield my words to you this day. Yield to you my whole self and ask that you speak through me. It is for your glory and in your name that I pray, Jesus Christ. Amen. Ninth grade. When I was in ninth grade, When I was in ninth grade, that was the last year of junior high. We didn't do middle school back then. We did junior high, and that meant that from seventh grade to ninth grade, we were in this larval state somewhere between elementary school and high school, and by ninth grade, we were just about ready to pop. We were frantic to be out of this middle state called junior high, and we were ready to move on and be high school students. That apparently was going to be an experience of maturity or something. And so we really looked forward to high school. Well, at the end of the year, to celebrate the fact that we had all survived junior high, we had a ninth grade talent show. And so the entire ninth grade gathered inside this huge auditorium, and there were various skits and so forth and so on. Well, all was well until the last act. And at the last act, the curtains closed. We all waited in breathless anticipation for whatever was coming. Most of us had no clue what was coming. And then the curtains opened. And on the stage, I'm going to date myself now, on the stage was a drum set featuring some cymbals from some of the popular rock bands of the time, like Black Sabbath, Ozzy Osbourne, and things like that. They were at the pinnacle of their popularity. And so there on those drums was a cross turned upside down, and the number of the beast, 666. And the drummer, Carl, started beating out the rhythm for one of the great rock anthems of the time. And the whole auditorium went into pandemonium. Total chaos. People jumped up, screaming, yelling, cheering. And then from stage left came some guys in robes carrying a coffin. And they dropped the coffin in the front of the stage, and out of the coffin burst Rob, one of the baddest boys in the whole school. And he came out, and he was dressed like a vampire, and he had this big cape on, and the guys in the robes, they shook off their robes, and behold, they were holding guitars, and they started to crank out this amazing rock anthem, and Rob took off and ran all the way around the circuit of the auditorium. And about halfway through, he apparently had this pack of stage blood in his mouth, and about halfway through, he burst it, and so blood was running all over his face, and he was practically flying with that cape, and he raced back onto the stage and grabbed the mic, and he was apparently the lead singer. And so out came this amazing song, and while this was happening, truly it was like Lord of the Flies. We were back in a primal state. People were berserk. Classmates that I had known for years who mostly were asleep whenever I saw them. Their eyes were open and their fangs were bared and they were just going nuts. The teachers fled. There came a moment about a minute after that when all the power went off. Somebody had shut down the power to the whole school to shut this thing down. Well, you can't do that for very long, so about 10 seconds later, the power came back on, and the show carried on. And in the midst of all of that, which I tell you is true, that is not from a movie, although it could be, in the midst of all of that, I found myself sitting in this crowd of people who I had known now for some years. They were my peers. It was really important that I have a great relationship with these people. Remember ninth grade? Really important. And in the midst of all of that, I had this weird feeling. This feeling that said, this is not good. There's something amiss here. And in the midst of all of this cheering and yelling and carnage and adolescent hormonal enthusiasm combined with electric guitars and whatever else, I just began to get this feeling that I needed to not be a part of this. And then I realized with horror that actually I needed to leave. And I was in ninth grade. Above all, you don't break ranks with your peers, right? My gosh, I did not want to break ranks with my peers. I mean, after all, these were the kids that I'd spent years trying to blend in with. Back then, you were supposed to part your hair down the middle and have wings. My hair never did that, but boy, did I try. Supposed to wear Izod shirts in pastel colors. Well, we couldn't afford those, but boy, did I try. I had a dragon and a fox or something. I had spent years trying to merge with this crowd of people and become respected and accepted, and all of a sudden, I had the sense that I needed to leave. And I was maybe two-thirds of the way down in this auditorium, and so I got up, and I walked to the side aisle, and I started to walk out of that auditorium. It's like a train wreck or a car wreck where you can remember every little moment. I still have this image in my mind of these people cheering and noticing me, and me noticing them, and thinking, I'm the only person in all of ninth grade who's doing this. And I walked out. It's a bizarre thing looking back through the years that all that took place. But in the moment, it was supremely important to me because I had to make a huge decision. Was I going to participate in something that I was convinced in my heart of hearts was not godly? And in so doing, continue to win the approval and the acceptance of my peers and continue to be a part of a community that had become so important to me? Or was I and I alone going to break ranks and leave? Which, of course, I did. I think in that moment I had a little taste of what Jesus was talking about in our reading from Matthew. When he makes this statement that is, you know, this is one of the hard texts of Scripture. Jesus comes along and says, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. And then he goes on to describe the most intimate, most important relationships, honestly, the most beautiful and sacred relationships on planet Earth, parents and children, spouses, so forth. And he says, I came to divide them up. I think I got a little taste of that on that bizarre day in ninth grade, because I can still remember the faces as I was divided from them. And they noticed, some of them asked me about it afterwards. Man, you left. Yeah, I left. Why? Had to leave. That sword cut right between me and that crowd. Well, Jesus does not hate relationships. Let's establish that right off the bat. Jesus is not a divider without cause. But what was going on that day? And what is going on in the scripture? Why would Jesus talk about division? And why would there be occasions when there might need to be a sword cut to sever us from something or someone or a group of someones? If there is anything in your life, or if there is anyone in your life that divides you from Jesus, you can be assured that Jesus is going to try to divide you from them. If there's anything that is preventing you from being with Jesus in the way that he intends, he's not going to stand passively by and say, well, I'll try and work with that. I don't know. Let's see what we can work out here. Oh, gosh. I guess I can't do anything here. No, Jesus came. He came to save you. He came to draw you into eternal relationship with him. He came to establish his character and his being, his holiness within you. And he came to extend that through you out across this whole world. And he's absolutely uncompromising about that. And so if there's anything that would sever you from him, I will guarantee you that he will sever you from it so that you can be unified with him. Now, this could be indeed a relationship. Let me just say, it could indeed be a good relationship, because that's what we see in our scripture today. We see good relationships. But if it divides you from Jesus, if it comes to it's Jesus or it's them, no matter how good it is, he will not celebrate that relationship in that form. He will cut you free from that relationship. But it doesn't have to be a relationship. It could be a habit, even a good one. It could be a pattern, a preference, a goal, a desire, a resource, anything in your life that would actually prevent you from walking with Jesus, he will cut you free from it. That's his intent. And it is not because he's mean-spirited. It's not because he just enjoys seeing us suffer. Let's acknowledge those sorts of divisions do cause suffering. It is painful. He doesn't do these things to create pain. He does it to set you free. He does it to give you life. He does it to establish his glory. He does it because, think about it, the thing that you desire, that you are pursuing through that relationship, through that habit, through that resource, whatever it is, the thing that you want, ultimately comes from God. Maybe it's love. Maybe it's acceptance. Maybe it's joy. Maybe it's a sense of well-being. Think about it. What do you look to in this world? And who do you look to in this world to bring you those things? Who or what gives you peace, joy, a sense of love, a sense of acceptance, a sense of purpose, value? All of that ultimately comes from Jesus. Jesus typically uses the resources of this world, our relationships, property, opportunities, and so forth, uses those things as vessels to give to us his heavenly grace. But if any of those vessels become a problem, yeah, he'll set you free from it. That's his intent. So Jesus would do this because Jesus is the one you're looking for, really and truly. And the only chance you have in situations like that is to turn to Jesus and away from the things of this world. Furthermore, this division, this cutting, this setting us free from things, sometimes painfully, that unifies us with Jesus, it also unleashes his work. You know, on that day in ninth grade, my position in my community changed. I was no longer just one in a crowd. I was now this guy who had taken a moral stand in the midst of a crowd of peers. And from that day forward, I had a different role in my community. I actually had some respect after all was said and done. They actually took me a little more seriously because I wasn't going to them saying, oh man, give me your respect. Come on, man, accept me. Please make me a part of your world. It wasn't that. I had said, you know what? I am important enough to God that I don't need to be a part of your world. And so there are some terms on which I will be a part of your world. My position changed in that community. People had to think about God because of that. Well, think about your life. Think about where you are positioned in this world. Did you know that God would unleash his power in new ways through you? Doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing in life. Doesn't matter how old or young you are. Doesn't matter whether you're working or whether you're at home. None of that matters. God intends to unleash his power in this world through you. But he may need to do some things in you before he can do that. He may need to set you free from some stuff. Some of that stuff you may not like, but some of it, like what we're talking about today, you might value highly. If God's going to take your spiritual journey to the next level, there may be some things that he needs to set you free from. He may need to do that kind of work. And then he can do even more powerful work in and through your life after that. So we face a choice. Actually, we face this choice daily. It's not just one moment in junior high or something of that sort. I believe every single day we face this choice. Christianity takes work, and it's a daily step-by-step process. And so we face the choice daily to either be divided from God or to be joined to him by being set free from the things that would impede us, from the things that would prevent us. Every day, in various ways, that choice lies before us. But I would not suggest that it's an easy choice. It's a tough choice. There can be some genuine grief, a genuine sense of loss that comes with this. And so, think about it. Is there anything or anyone in your life where God is taking his sword and saying, I want to cut you free from this? It's time for this to radically, fundamentally, completely change. Is there something or someone in your life that Jesus wants to set you free from so that you can be closer to him and walk farther with Him and have His power pour out through your life? If so, I encourage you to take the step towards Him and allow Him to do that work. But take that step firmly. Don't just say, yeah, that's okay. It's hard. It's a hard step. And so go to Him with whatever it is that He needs to set you free from and put it on the altar. Yield it to Him and beg Him to give you what you need in order to live following that. Our text in Matthew ends with Jesus talking about this paradoxical phenomena that when we give up our life for Him, He will give us His life in return. We lose our life so we can gain His life. That takes deep, deep trust. And so I urge you to take the step, and I urge you to take it with that trust in mind. Realize that you're not doing a small thing. Go to Him intentionally and say, Jesus, here it is. Here's this relationship that I know I have to yield to You. And it's precious to me. Here's this resource. Here's this habit. Here's this aspect of my life that has to go to You. I know I have to give it up. Jesus, set me free from it, and please give me Your life in return. Please take this and give me Your life in return, because to do this, it's killing me. It is so hard to do this. But Jesus, I trust You. I trust You. I trust You. And I encourage you to take that step if there's something that Jesus is calling out. And I want to reassure you that Jesus is trustworthy. I'll end with one other story. It's not my own. But this was an organist who was a world-class, is a world-class organist from England. And he was also for many years an atheist. And he said, you know, if I had my cup of tea and my newspaper, I could handle playing organ in churches. And he played in churches all over England. And he played in concerts around the world. But at some point, Jesus met him. He was saved. And he gave his life to Jesus. And when he did, he felt the deep conviction that along with that, he needed to give up his organ, that instrument that he had played for so many years. He needed to give up his art. And so he did. And he thought he would never get it back. But he was a part of a large church in England that had a praise team, not unlike the music team that we have here. And at some point, they approached him and said, would you join us? And God began to restore that instrument to him and restore that art to him. But it no longer was something that had power over him. It no longer defined him. It no longer controlled him. Now he could use this art for the glory of God. And he continues to do so to this day. It's a huge step. Just think, are you called to such a step today? When you take that step, the one final thing I'd urge you to do is let somebody that you trust and respect know, so that they can pray with you and support you, because it is a hard step to take. In a few weeks, we'll be forming small groups of people. We're calling them listening groups. We'll be forming small groups of people that are really very small prayer groups, 3 to 4 people, who will pray with each other as they walk their spiritual journey together. These are groups that provide a huge opportunity to take these kinds of steps in your spiritual journey, where God takes you from one dependency into dependency with Him, one attachment into attachment with Him. I encourage you to take part in those. And let's see what Jesus does in your life as He sets you free and unleashes His power and grace in you. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, You came into this world not to bring peace, but a sword. You came to bring an end to unholy attachments and insufficient dependencies and idolatrous relationships. You came to set us free from anything that was not of You, so that we could be joined fully and completely to You. For each of us in this room, I ask that You fulfill that work in us. Take us this day and in the days ahead, that next step down that path to perfect and complete union with You. Jesus, in our freedom, we would yield to You for Your glory. And we pray in Your name. Amen.